Receiving is evidence that you've given consistently. And that is the thought for today. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's audio, we have an inspiring message on how being consistent in your daily actions and progress virtually guarantees you success. Enjoy.
You can think and say and do certain things and believe certain things, but if you carry an energy that's different, it doesn't matter what you're trying to manifest. And let me give you an example. There's a lot of people that date the same person again and again and again, or they have the same business problem again and again and again.
Yeah.
Same obstacles.
Yeah.
No matter what they do, you seem to, why is this always happening to me? It's because you carry an energy.
I agree
with
that.
So what I analyzed, and you know, I went to India and kind of learned this stuff about myself, is number one, my siblings were all hyper-intelligent students. They all went to the Ivy Leagues.
Okay.
So I kind of had a chip on my shoulder that I didn't go to Harvard, Penn, or Columbia.
Okay.
My siblings were much more academic.
Okay.
So I had that going. Then when I was little, I was hyper, and they were good students. My grandma, who my mom was a teacher, would take us after school, was this wise old kind of Yoda type of character.
Yeah.
And she would always say to me, I go, Grandma, I'm bored.
You're bored.
I don't want to study.
Yeah.
She goes, only stupid people get bored. Smart people think things to do. Well, this changed my cellular memory, my neural pathways, and into my code, DNA. So my energy shifted. What did that mean, though? That means I projected my insecurity about being stupid.
Yes.
Made me an ego-driven guy.
Yes.
Who then surrounded himself with the wrong people.
Yeah.
And I used to be the smartest. I made sure I was the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm the smartest guy in the room, I'm in the wrong room.
You're in the wrong room.
The second thing is, I believe in this philosophy of do it now. Which is kind of realms on this whole congregate, like, hey, can you introduce me right now?
Right.
Immediately, when anything's coming in my life, I ask myself, can I do it now? So, hey, can you refer this? Yeah, hold on. Right, I'll make phone calls. You've been in meetings with me. It's like almost ADD, but it's not. It's just, if you don't, the minute, talk about saving time. Anything you can do now, you at least save twice as much time. Mm-hmm. The minute you don't do something now, it'll take you minimum twice as much time to do it. Plus, you got to remember it. Plus, you could become statistically unsuccessful, exponentially unsuccessful the longer you wait on it. So I actually have now, on my do it now strategy, not only do things now, but I have a folder which is called do it now. So it's things that I would do now if I was capable of, something that's that important. So I immediately, after I'm doing it now and doing this, I'll go to my do it now folder so I won't forget.
And knock it out.
And those are the important things. So I have this system of doing it now, which only saves me time and makes me more statistically successful.
Your story to me really is one of being able to rebuild. And so few people, A, can do it, and B, the ones that can and have don't want to talk about it. And so how do you think about failure? How have you conceptualized in your mind? Why are you so able to talk so openly about it?
You know, I did an interview with Ryan Leaf, and we were talking about big failures. And his failure was even more public than mine. But the number one shameful thing of losing everything, and the most courageous thing, was to face our mothers.
That's interesting.
You know, you talk about the public, and you know, I said today, I had sheriffs line up at my Rancho Santa Fe home and moving trucks to take everything out. You know, 33 homes alone in San Diego, gone. A golf course, a ski mountain. So beyond my community and associates and all of this, and I was already working for Lee. This is from past transgressions. I was already on my path and journey of fulfillment. But the hardest thing was to walk through my mom's house and tell, oh, I get choked up. I had to tell her that not only did I fail myself, but I failed her. It was really, really tough. So that failure, to me, was the toughest part, you know. And so for me, all the other things were just learning experiences. But I had to get over the shame of that, you know, here, they took my mom's house. Mm. My dream of getting rich was only to buy my mom a house and a car. That's, you know, I grew up with nothing, 6 kids, single mom. So for me, to make it back, I was already on that journey, and I felt as if I could stay in a place of giving and faith, and I mean faith in myself and faith in the universe, faith in others, of service, that everything would come back to me, and it did.
You went to Tulane Law School.
Yes, sir.
And you graduate there, and within 9 months, tell them what happens to you. Because I want you all to hear the ups and downs of real life business and real life from one of the most successful people in the country. So what happens out of law school?
So out of law school, I have two choices for jobs, and it's a recession.
Right.
One was to be a real lawyer, oil and gas litigator, you know, big money. All I wanted to do is be rich is why I went to law school. And then the second was to work in the internet.
Okay.
And I got offered a job to sell legal research online by West Publishing.
Okay.
Big, big legal publisher. And so I go to my mom, because you'll appreciate this. I go to my mom. Hey, what should I do, mom? My big advisor. You know, I grew up with a single mom, six kids.
Wow.
And she, without blinking, is like, you need to be a real lawyer. Because this internet thing is a fad. So she calls the internet a fad.
Right.
And I always say, because I like to teach lessons, biggest lesson of my life was just because somebody loves you doesn't mean they give you good advice.
Amen.
And I see so many people, entrepreneurs, in relationships, they ask for advice for people that don't know anything. My mom's a second grade teacher.
Right.
What does she know about
technology? Beautiful soul, but not a technology expert.
No. Right. And if I would have followed, it would have, I think, slowed down or, you know, at least not allowed me to have the acceleration I had. So I took the technology job.
Right.
You know, single, money hungry, in a sales job in the internet.
So be very careful, just because you love them or they love you, of thinking they have some expertise in an area that you don't, right? They probably don't. And so oftentimes we take advice from the wrong person, derails our dreams. So that's lesson one.
One more thing, too.
Yeah.
We end up resenting them. Which is worse. So all the people that love us most, we end up resenting them because they gave us bad advice. And meanwhile, we should be accountable because we asked the second grade teacher for internet advice. And that's the worst part.
Please keep in mind, this is about half the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.